Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend time with you guys and gals. And I don't know where you are in the country or the world. I'm actually on the East Coast right now and not in Hawaii. And we are getting beautiful summer weather in October. It's just amazing. Amazing, amazing. I'm so grateful for all types of weather. But today we are really blessed today to have Nihad Al-Hassan in it, because typically we talk about real estate and self-help and helping in different avenues and venues. And today we are going to talk about Clearwater, Florida, for those of you who ever thought about moving to Clearwater, Florida. There's some really interesting facts. And also about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Lots and lots of news is going on about that, and it's something, if you haven't checked into, you really need to know more about it. So we're going to get the latest, also learn about Clearwater, Florida. Nihad Al-Hassan is very well-versed in cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin, and is a licensed real estate agent with San Key Realty Sales in Clearwater, Florida, where he has lived his entire life. He is a master marketer and has been featured on many local television and radio shows. He's an expert in technology, internet marketing, and computer technology. He received world-class training working with J.P. Morgan Chase as well as the telecom giant Verizon for many years. He freely offers tons of advice, articles, blogs on his sites, and reaches out to educate the public about blockchain, which is definitely not going to go away. And for those of you who are not familiar with blockchain, it's the underlying, it's Bitcoin is run with blockchain, and he's going to explain that more in detail. But this is going to be fun, because we agents and brokers that are listening in through the membership and other people, it's going to definitely hit home. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Nihad Al-Hassan. Hey.
Hey, how are you doing today? Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's how's your weather down there in Clearwater? Probably always
hurricane
nice,
just
huh?
passed. Well, hurricane just passed by. I think it's landing in Tallahassee as we speak. So.
Is that Michael? I don't know.
Yes, just like from the Halloween movie, right?
Oh my goodness! So it passed. It missed you, huh?
Yeah, it's Tallahassee is a Category 4. It's pretty strong, so.
Oh no!
We got a little bit of rain, not much.
You're lucky. How were you last year? What was September of 2017?
We didn't have any issues at all. I think it missed us too as well. It's kind of hard to get into Tampa because it has to make a complete U-turn coming out from the Atlantic. So it usually hits Miami, Naples, or goes to Tallahassee, or Louisiana, or Mexico.
Then it goes back around, yeah. That's it.
I'm
so excited to talk to you today about everything. So tell us how you got decided. Well, you've been in. We're going to be able to talk about Clearwater, Florida, a little bit too. Many people I know love to live in the warm climate. Florida has tax benefits and many other benefits as well. Tell us a little bit about you. Like, what brought you? Because fast forward, like what got you into everything and where you are today? So passionate about Bitcoin and real estate.
Well, I think I've always loved real estate as a kid as well, but I was more fond of technology as a kid, and anything I've gotten into, I've usually taken a deep dive into. Like when I got my first computer, I think I was 10. It was IBM PC Junior. I think it was in 84, and I did a little programming there as well. From there,
wow.
In the 80s, 90s, I built computers. I worked with computer stores throughout the 90s, through the .com, and later on worked for Verizon for over a decade as well. I was a crisis manager as well with them, handling network bridges and outages for their network, for their BBN, their backbone network for the internet.
So well, that got
quite a few things. And from there, I moved on to Chase, did a little financial transactions there, working, understanding the EMV chip card, the payment processing, understanding the banking system, and managed the helping. Also, I've helped bring clients on and board them on to Chase and work with the anti-money laundering and the KYC, know your customers, so I've dealt with the financial part as well. A lot of it was technical. I had different positions in there.
Wow,
and
you said you were working anti-laundering. I guess we have a lot of problems with that now, don't we?
Well, not anti-laundering. What we did, when we brought in clients that wanted to take payment processing for credit cards, we had to vet them mm-hmm. and confirm that they who they are and confirm their logistics of their company with the government as well and foreign companies.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
From there, I mean, I think Bitcoin came into the place in the same time I started working for Chase, because from my technology side, I was very fond of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, and I was very fond of the banking system and bringing people onto the banking systems. Very expensive, very difficult, and you have to have an IT team to integrate your credit card processing. And the biggest flaw in credit cards is they can do, customers can do a reversal in chargeback, and
mm-hmm.
if you're not using the EMV, it can have issues there at that point. Bitcoin resolves that issue by not allowing the return of those funds, but there's precautions in place that you can transfer those money back and forth from one person to another, bypassing banks.
So people could do chargebacks or the banks are okay. The is our dollar really safe in the banks?
Well, I think the dollar is all trust. I think it basically takes about 17 cents to make a dollar. The rest is all dollar. It's all trust with the federal government. And when you have money in the bank, they have an issue called fractional reserve lending, meaning that if you put $1,000 in the bank, they'll lend 90% of that to somebody else. So basically, if
right.
5% of the people that save money withdraw their money, the banks would go bankrupt at that point. So it's all digital, just like Bitcoin. If you're not holding cash, you're actually digital money, but with U.S. dollar.
So people, but that 5% is not very much. You would think they'd have the government says our accounts are covered up to, what, $250,000 per account,
yep.
I believe, through FDIC.
Correct.
So,
yep. And they all they have to do to fund that, to cover that $250,000 is print more money. And they can print it, but you might get $250,000, but it won't be worth $250,000. Yeah, people have to understand that the dollar, everything's not getting more expensive. It's that the dollar is getting weaker. When you used to buy 1920 loaves of bread for 100 loaves of bread for a dollar, whatever it used to cost, and bread cost $3. It's not that everything's getting more expensive, the labor, it's that the dollar is getting weaker and everything else has to rise price to compensate for that difference.
That makes sense. That really does make sense. And you have China and Russia right now. A lot of countries are seem to be pulling away from the dollar.
I agree, and that's the first thing that they want to do. I mean, I think the only reason the dollar holds up is that other countries use our money, and that gives us stability, and the oil as well. Cryptocurrency is, of course, it's fluctuating up and down, but it's fluctuating. Its volatility is going in the upward trend, not in the downward trend, because in 2017, I think it was only $1,000 a coin, and now it's at
mm-hmm.
$6,500 at this point. And a lot of countries that don't produce their own currency are looking to buy Bitcoin and reserve it and back their own currency through Bitcoin. And the benefit of this is that they have something that's not manipulated or anything else like that.
So tell us a little bit, for those that aren't aware of Bitcoin or maybe hear about it in the news but never really looked into it, tell us a little bit about blockchain and how blockchain is probably safer than what a lot of the banks are using now, or maybe they're getting into blockchains as well. What is blockchain and then how it relates to Bitcoin?
Blockchain is basically the underlying technology for Bitcoin. So you cannot have Bitcoin without the blockchain. It's a ledger. It's just like Excel. It adds and subtracts the total amount. But the main difference is that it's decentralized, meaning that everyone that has a mining machine has a ledger copy on their computer. So if me and you wanted to transfer money back and forth, and I can't trust you, but you can't trust me, but I can trust 1,000 people to verify that you have that money, that's basically decentralized. And that blockchain, everyone runs the same ledger, and everyone has to approve the transaction before the transaction can be settled as accepted at that point, the funds are available. So we're trusting everybody, millions of people that have these machines running simultaneously, all have to agree before the transaction fails. That's the base of it, what it is. It's basically a ledger.
So it's like the ledger, and then they start. Well, how did it start with Nakamoto back in 2008 or 9? What is that?
2009. He created, it started way in the 90s with cypherpunks that were looking at digital cash, but I don't think they had they wanted to use cryptocurrency. They're using the technology of
way back.
Yeah, and then that
back in the, so they were trying
together.
To do it. It's kind of like they were trying to do it, but never had it happen.
Yeah, they're using cryptographic is basically what they're doing, is to encrypt everything in 256 SHA encryption is what they use. But they didn't have the machine to run it. So moving forward to 2009, they created it. They don't know if Satoshi Nakamoto is one person or a group of people that created the Bitcoin as well. But they were just
and
mining
then how
and sharing it.
So how much Bitcoin is out there?
There's going to be a max production that cannot be increased to 21 million. And the mining looks like, and completion of mining all the Bitcoins won't complete till 2140.
So 2140, 120-some years from now, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost 70-80% of it's been mined, so a majority of it has been mined. There's about 10, 15, 20% left to mine.
It
is mind-boggling. I mean, the coins in 2009, when they were mining Bitcoin, every 10 minutes, they used to be able to mine 50 coins per 10 minutes. And every 4 years, it's called a hash rate. It cuts the production by 50% every 4 years. So in 2009, it was 50 coins in 2012. The hash was cut to 25, then 12.5, 6.5. It keeps less and less and less every 4 years. So less people can sell.
This formula was figured in by Nakamoto or figured out by Nakamoto, and then they pulled it all the way to the end of, is that till 2140?
Yeah. Everything that's Bitcoin, blockchain, is all mathematics. It's all calculated automatically. And if you look at it, a lot of the numbers are 21. It's kind of weird. Like 2140,
really?
21 Bitcoin.
21 backwards is 12, huh? Okay, so 21.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of so that's that. But how do they mastermind this and then figure out and then how are people safer than actually with the banks with the Bitcoin?
Well, I think Bitcoin is like this. If we look at fax machines, if you have one fax machine, it has no value. But if everybody has a fax machine, we have value there at that point. It's called Metcalfe's Law is what they call it. It's the square root of users. So one cell phone is worth nothing. And how Apple's able to charge $1,500 for a phone is because everybody has one. It's the social network.
Right, because people
like
are kind of – right, and that's why they're able to – almost sounds like a monopoly, but it's not a monopoly, so to speak. So the formula is figured out, and then it runs out there. But if there's only 21 million coins, but they can split off, right, and make other coins, or how does that work?
Yeah, one coin can be divisible by 100 million. So basically, if a Bitcoin is worth $1 million, one Satoshi, is what they call them, broken down into pieces, is a penny. So it can grow dramatically. And if you take 21 million coins times $1 million, that's almost like $2 trillion. More than, and gold right now, I think, is at $8 trillion, I think. The worldwide collection of gold.
I don't know. It's like kind of. So, that, but I'm trying to make, wrap my brain around this because it's like 21 million. So the 21 million, then you're breaking it down, and then you have pennies, kind of. In, I mean, you're looking at like you equated almost to pennies from the one.
Yeah. So it, as the currency fluctuates, it's divisible by 100 million. So whatever the price is, divide that one by 100 million is what that would be.
Okay. By 100 million.
Yeah.
Okay. It just kind of, I mean, for the layperson, it can seem difficult, even though you make it sound so easy, but it doesn't seem that easy.
Well, it does sound complicated, but the thing is this, you have to remember, you don't have to understand how email is sent, or you don't have to understand the technology behind email to send an email. If you're already using Apple Pay, you're already using your phone to make payments, you already know how to use Bitcoin because that's all you do is paying from one phone to the other through the wallet. As long as you know how to send money, just like Apple Pay, then Bitcoin is just as easy. But storing it is the most important in securing currency. And I think that's where those third parties are working.
That's the secure part.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, I've seen in third world countries, right, you have they're using, I don't know if it's Apple Pay, they're using their phones sometimes to get them into, and countries are using these technologies to be able to pay for things from their phone.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that's pretty interesting.
And if you ever use the QR code, people use QR code to send Bitcoin from back and forth. That's all you do. Basically, you take a picture of a QR code and you send that money to that person money. That's it. Or you can send it through the app itself to that person is copying their QR code number as well.
Interesting. That's really neat. The blockchain, I was really fascinated with how I've heard that different governments around the world, there's companies trying to set up situations for refugees so that, you know, so many refugees, they end up leaving. I mean, they don't have, may not have papers, a passport, birth certificate, anything, right? And it's become very dangerous and sad. And from what I understand with blockchain, they can actually track the records easily or track the people easily.
Correct, yeah.
In different areas,
I think a lot of companies are taking the blockchain technology and utilizing their own software. Like in refugee situation, they are doing retina scans, and they're categorizing their retina in the blockchain of their own software so they can categorize their passport, their driver's license, any funds in their account could be all categorized to their retina. So if they're getting aid from another company.
Okay, is that something a person can do themselves, to take a picture of their retina with the software and put it in there, or is it something they have to go through these companies to do?
I think the development of you have to have first the blockchain software that you have, basically custom software that they're utilizing as well, and then you have to have the mining software, the machines to run that, the network as well.
Okay.
There is companies that are producing this for third parties, but the good thing about it is these people don't have to carry any documentation, and if Red Cross wants to give a certain person money, they can put it into their account, and they can retrieve it through the retina, through the blockchain. And
really? So
100% accurate.
So, and the money they'd be giving them, what kind of money would that be? Would that be a Bitcoin, or could be dollars, or it could be anything? It's just part of utilizing the software.
If they wanted to, they can create their own currency within that same group. Why not? I mean, or they can use a country's currency. But if they have their own currency, they can build a little value there and use it anywhere in the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is amazing to me. That is.
Yeah.
So you love
it's
Bitcoin.
It's going to change the world.
What about Bitcoin or it's not going away either. What about Bitcoin, Ethereum, different types of cryptocurrency? What's your take on that?
I think there is, I would say about 90% of them are scams. A lot of them are, if you don't understand and read the white paper, if you don't understand the technology, you don't do your research, of course, there's a lot of scamming coins out there.
You have to be careful.
But there is a few good ones. Yeah, and I suggest people to understand it if they're going to invest. It's basically a lottery ticket at this point. If you want to lose the money, it's good to put maybe 1% of your net worth, but that's something you have to take in consideration. I'm not a financial advisor.
Right. Well, I remember it went up as high as, almost 20? Was it like 19,000 last year, and now it's down to 6,500 on the Bitcoin. But it's that.
I think it's going to come into real estate, and they have smart contracts that can basically – a smart contract is like a vending machine. Your quarter or your change is the currency. You put it into a vending machine, and you put an A1, and it gives you a snack. So basically, that machine is programmed to take that money and convert it into software to give you food. And that's what basically a smart contract is. It's programmable money. And they can put all the contingencies, they can put everything into a contract. So basically, you both agree to this, money's in escrow, and you can pull out of it, and it's all following whatever that contract. And there's no bias anywhere as well.
You have a property, what was it, with Frank Wright, a property built by, I'm not one of the Frank Wright properties.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about that, in Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah, it's a home in Clearwater Beach, Bel Air Shores, really. It's only 57 homes on the water. I have it listed at $4.2 million. It's a student of Frank Lloyd Wright that built the home, and we did list it for Bitcoin. And I think in last year when the currency was up at $20,000, I got a lot of interested buyers, but as the currency withdrawn, they've pulled back at this point. But I feel as the price goes up, this opens up the market to additional buyers that other realtors can't. I think it gives me leverage as well.
So the escrow companies, I'm assuming, taxes, I guess everybody would pay the same taxes they would if it was U.S. dollars. But you've got title company, escrow companies, and they're able to just transfer you're able to transfer the currency over?
It's like taking any other currency, like it's the pound or the yen. Florida contracts are in dollars. They have to be in dollars. So we have banks that convert up to $5 million a day. We have companies that will short it to make sure the volatility stays there. And we have also people that will lend up to $2 million in Bitcoin on their money at the same time. So we have a lot of options.
That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about Clearwater for people that want to know what Clearwater is like.
Well, I'm located at a Clearwater Beach, and it's rated the number one beach in the country. It beat Hawaii, I'm sorry. No.
Okay.
And it's one of the top destinations. I think a lot of people come to Florida because the weather, of course. It's a no income tax state. And it's a good place. A lot of people come to retire as well. We have about 1,500 people a day moving to Florida. And I guess the benefits of where land is in Florida. Yeah.
Well, over in Clearwater, what do you have? I guess real estate runs from lower price to high price?
Believe it or not, I just sold a condo on the beach for under $500,000, direct waterfront condo.
How big was it about?
It was two bedroom, two bath, I think 1,600 square feet.
Okay.
Direct oceanfront.
Oh, that's
can't
nice.
Beat that. You can't find that in Hawaii.
No, and we're talking with Nihad Al-Hassan, and this is Natalie Mullenix with Real Universal Radio. Tell people how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, I have a few things. If you want to learn more about Bitcoin, I have a blog, info@bitcoin.com. But I also have my personal webpage at sankeyrealtor.com. It's my website as well, my personal website. I have all my contact information about me as well on both. Also, I have the website, firstbitcoinrealtor.com. More information on that as well, on the home. On
oh, I like that. Is it first, F-I-R-S-T, or one S-T?
I have both.
Oh, smart.
Either way.
Okay. Smart. FirstRealtorBitcoin.com. Okay.
Yeah, FirstBitcoinRealtor.com,
I like that. That works out that well. So that would be interesting to see how that sells. I've seen a lot of people can do it. With the Bitcoin, though, if you're doing it with the real estate, then I guess it's like the exchange, right? The money could change, like It could vary today from tomorrow, or you're going to close, say you're going to close in 30 to 60 days. How do they do that? How do they adjust for price changes?
I think that a lot of people take in consideration. They think Bitcoin is the one that's fluctuating. I think it's the opposite. I think the dollar is fluctuating. The Bitcoin is stable because they're not printing the Bitcoin. They're not manipulating Bitcoin. It's all speculation, of course, but I think it's the dollar that fluctuates if you look at flipping it in the opposite direction, because soon we won't put everything in dollars, we'll put everything in Bitcoin. But I think
right.
the fluctuation point, if there's a contract occurring, the money would probably be moved into escrow immediately to prevent the fluctuation of the currency at that point, right away, the full amount.
So that would be.
Especially
so you put the money in escrow. No, they put the money in. But I'm just thinking how you, like for the dot, like if we say, okay, they're paying $4 million, but if they're paying
mm-hmm.
$4 million in Bitcoin, then the buyer, if the value goes down, the buyer just has to put more money in there, right? More Bitcoin?
Correct, yeah.
To make it equal $4
million? To be fulfilled in dollar amounts unless the owner wants part of
Got it
in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Yep. So whatever the escrow amount will have to be will be fulfilled. But
at the
same time, I have people that short Bitcoin that protect them on that downside. So if it's short, they're breaking even, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So if
right.
you have 4 million in Bitcoin and 4 million shorting it, it's going to fluctuate, it's going to balance out itself. So they call it Bitcoin insured, but it's basically they're shorting the Bitcoin.
Now, a lot of laws have been changing. I know we're not asking you to quote, you know, certain laws or give financial advice. But I've seen things where they're like the government's trying to tax this and tax that. And, of course, anything that's going to be an asset you're selling, you're going to pay taxes on. But there were a lot of companies out of the country that have been offering different, say, cryptocurrency. Like it could be schemes, right? We don't know. If I guess you have to really check it out. That people aren't getting the money now. They're talking, it's like different things where they're going to get more of it later if they put in so much buy packages. I've seen all types of things. Are you kind of leery of that?
I am, because there's no regulation involved with those people. I'm always concerned because it's a new market. It's hard to, it's not like researching a stock or a company that's been regulated. Like I said, everything is a gamble. So if you're going to put something into it, it's something you're willing to lose. That's what I tell everybody. But I'll start off with something that's the two currency exchanges I use in the United States is Coinbase and Genesis that are here in New York and San Francisco.
So Coinbase and Genesis. Okay. And are they
backed by
the FDIC? Coinbase and Gemini. I'm sorry.
Gemini is the one, yes. In New York, and Coinbase is in San Francisco. They are regulated by the United States. I've researched Coinbase. They are FDIC insured, but I think it's only for the dollar, not for the crypto.
Oh, only for the dollar. Oh, Coinbase lets you put it. How does that work? Because I thought Coinbase is for crypto. It's not?
Well, you can deposit U.S. dollars into them. You can wire. You have to wire U.S. dollars to them, or debit mm-hmm. your account, and they have a U.S. dollar wallet on their account with Coinbase.
But you still have Bitcoin, though, right? Because I have Coinbase, and you can still have Bitcoin
yes.
and Ethereum, right,
so,
in there. So is that not
US
protected?
Dollars, the U.S. dollar should be protected, but you want to verify on their website and make sure it's
updated.
I see. I've checked it about a few years ago, and I got an email from them about it. But once you have money, dollars in their account, you can use that dollars to buy Bitcoin at that point. But I don't think they secure the Bitcoin. But, you know, the thing about it is if anyone hacks your computer or takes your password, they can move that money out of your account. That's why you have to be very careful. I use a Chromebook, and I erase everything on the machine every time I access my wallet or account.
So tell us. So you use Chromebook, and that's on your
mm-hmm.
on your laptop or your computer or on your phone.
No, on my computer. I have one computer just dedicated to my crypto that I erase every time I use it.
Okay. What about our cell phones? Because
yeah.
so many of us are using cell phones, and you know the information comes up. Like I always put not to save a password, but I notice on the cell phone many times. the information's popping up anyhow.
Yeah, and I think the cell phones are have the most viruses than anything else. They're basically spying devices on them. Basically 90%, 99% of the phones have viruses on them. And it's a good idea to back up your phone, erase it once in a while, and because if you receive a text message and you don't know who it is and you click on it, you just installed a virus on your phone.
Oh,
without
wow.
even knowing, a spy or a keylogger.
Well, how do you
that's
take
monitoring
it off the, how do you take it off where you don't want like password saved and when you go to type something in it's showing the password? I know on the computer you can put no.
If you're using it on the phone, usually Google should encrypt it if you're using Chrome. But you need to – it depends what browser you use. But it should be –
oh, I gotcha.
It should, if you're using the Chrome, it should encrypt it when they're sending it in because it's not allowing you to see it. But,
oh,
I,
but if you can
I
see
use
it,
LastPass, by the way.
Okay. You use what?
LastPass. LastPass. LastPass is a software that you pay for and you install on your phone. And you put all your passwords on LastPass's website, and it generates a generic randomized password, and it uses it on your login for your bank and everything else. So even if somebody steals that password, it's the wrong password, believe it or not.
So it's called LastPass, L-A-S-T-P-A-T-H?
L-A-S-T-P-A-S-S, LastPass.
P-A-T-H, right?
No, P-A-S-S, pass.
P-A-S-S, I'm sorry, must be my hearing today. We're getting a lot of good nuggets today, though. Things to look at. Okay,
yeah.
LastPass.
Well, there's a few things I use. I use a VPN software as well on my machine because if you're at McDonald's or on free Wi-Fi, people are stealing your information.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I use Tunnel there for VPN software.
Tunnel?
And I also use Tunnel
What's
Bear.
What's it called, Tunnel Bear? Tunnel Bear?
Yeah. Tunnel Bear for VPN.
Okay.
This prevents people, it encrypts your data when you're sending in and out of your computer so nobody can see what you're doing. So if you're in McDonald's or Starbucks and there's a hacker, he's stealing all your information from your machine.
You're kidding.
He can see
from your phone.
No. Like, from your phone or your
laptop.
I use the VPN software, both.
So you think that LastPass would be good for passwords and then the EPM software is the
The beach, we have a five-star hotel. It's four-star, but it would have been five-star had the bathrooms in the restaurant. And a lot of people there, the hotel room is like $800-$900 a night on the beach. And they have free Wi-Fi. And I can just imagine all the hackers waiting for people to log in to steal their information.
Wow.
They go to the most expensive places, and they sit on their Wi-Fi, and they can see, and they just sit there, collect all the data, and they go home and utilize it at that point.
And so Tunnel Bear would stop that?
It would stop it, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So you change it. Wait, we're learning a lot. So the crypto, so when you said people can mine it in the crypto software, people are actually still mining software individually, or is that just companies?
No, you can mine Bitcoin. It's just it takes up a lot of computing power and a lot of energy, and it's very loud. It's about like one mining machine is like 100 hair dryers. It's very loud. But the thing you have to remember is the cost to make one Bitcoin at this point costs $6,000. That's why the price of Bitcoin is not dropping below six because it costs $6 to mine it. So when price drops below six, I'm an interested buyer because I can buy it cheaper than I can mine it.
You're kidding. So that's, you know, it's still confusing a little bit. It's still a little confusing. I believe it's
and
safer.
And remember one thing. If you want to mining gold is the same thing as mining a Bitcoin. The difference is when you mine gold, you have heavy equipment, you dig in the ground, then you forge it into a coin. Bitcoin is that you're solving difficult math problems, and everyone's solving it together, and whoever solves the problem first gets paid Bitcoin, and it's broken up into pools, and there could be a million people in one pool, and you divide up that coin and the percentages they get.
Right.
But I think when you start to explain the technology, it turns people off and they get discouraged. But the most important thing is this: it can't be duplicated. The blockchain's never been hacked, and in almost 10 years it's been around, and no additional than 21 million coins can be created. This is, allows you to move money around the world within 10 minutes, even on Christmas Day. You can't do it with the banks. And also, this is a money that cannot be frozen by any government, and it cannot be stopped from whoever you want to give it to. So you give it to anybody you want, and nobody can stop you.
So that, like, say with businesses, we take credit cards. If we wanted to say, okay, we're going to take Bitcoin also, we're going to, offer Bitcoin on our sites, then how do we, say a product costs $500, just to give you an example, and they pay us with the Bitcoin, but then really it went down to $300. We're not really covered in that way, right?
No, but Coinbase has a merchant account that lets you convert the money instantly, and they charge a 1% fee, so it gets converted from Bitcoin to dollars right away.
Oh, really? So it's even better. Merchant
yes.
account's going to be more than 1%. So it's 1% fee?
Yeah. And think about this.
Okay.
JPMorgan Chase, I think, is only in maybe 23 banks at 22 countries around the world out of 200 because there's so much fraud in the third world countries. But Bitcoin reduces
really?
That fraud to zero. Yeah.
So
see, the
Bitcoin
under, the underbanking countries where the third world countries, they are not involved, and the blockchain is going to bring them online and bring wealth into those countries as well.
And it's
they'll
going to
be able
to of the
move
security,
money.
Right?
The security
secure,
and also
secure,
allows them
secure.
To move money without government. There's no country barriers anymore.
Right.
At that point.
That's definitely fantastic. So if somebody wants to go buy Coinbase now, Bitcoin now, the probably safest way to do it would be Coinbase or Gemini, right? Just for an amateur getting
correct.
In.
Yeah.
Reading on your information, now everybody knows that listen. Well, people that listen to us and download later know that they can always go to realtyuniversal.com, and we'll put them in touch with you. But the Coinbase, I have a small account. I just piddled a little bit on it. I probably should have done more. But when you're talking about security, because I know you said if you lose your password, you can lose all your money. And which is kind of sad because not everybody wants to give out their passwords, right? But on Coinbase, I forgot my password before and I was able to get my password. So does that mean I don't really have a wallet? Or how do you,
so,
can you explain the differences on when somebody goes in to sign up for Coinbase? Or yeah.
Well, just remember this. If you don't own the keys, you don't own the money, the Bitcoin. And that's something that nobody really understands. The keys are when you have an account with Coinbase and you have your money stored on their servers, they own the keys. That means they own the money. If the company ever goes out of business, they keep it. And now, the keys are vital because as Bitcoin splits, they keep the split. They decide if they want to give you the coin to you or if they keep it. So basically, Bitcoin does a fork. I think it forks 60 times this year. But every time it forks, I have more coins from that one coin.
Like how many coins would you
money.
Get? Like is it a certain amount? Is it a certain amount
so
or it could be very
vary? If you have one Bitcoin, give one Bitcoin at the split, they give you another one of whatever that new coin is. Like Bitcoin private,
so you
Bitcoin
would really
cash,
have a,
all
you would really. You mean if one Bitcoin is $6,500, they would give you another $6,500?
No.
What?
The value of that one trades differently on the exchange. Bitcoin Cash split from Bitcoin, and it's, I think, at 500 at this point. And if you ever want to check all the currencies, just go to coinmarketcap.com. That'll show you all the coins that are on exchanges right now.
Okay.
But Bitcoin
Coin Market.
Bitcoin Cash.
Cap.
Yeah, coinmarketcap.com.
Cap.com. I just want to get this. Okay, so if on the Coinbase, if it says you have Bitcoin Cash, does that mean it's split and they gave it to you?
Yeah, so Bitcoin Cash is at $514. But believe it or not, when it split, it went from $10 to $8,000 in one day. But nobody could sell. But that's just another day, another story.
I'm trying to get for the layperson, like if it's Coinbase or if it's Gemini, and say on Coinbase, you were mentioning that if you don't own
the keys.
You don't own it. It goes to them. And then if it splits, it's going to go to them. It's not going to go to you, right?
Yeah, they decide if they want to give you the split.
But how do you own it through Coinbase? How do you do that? You set it up a different way?
So if you want to take advantage of the split, you have to move it into a hardware wallet. Hardware
and can
wallet
you do that through Coinbase?
Yes. At that point, a hardware wallet allows you to hold the keys, and then you're responsible for the password. So if you lose any access or you lose any information, or you lose your wallet or the password for it, you lose the money. That's the risk on the other part. But at the same time, you benefit from additional coins that split from network coins.
But does Coinbase offer hardware wallets?
No, they don't. You have to buy your own. And
okay.
Yeah. I buy, and I don't buy from Amazon because I don't want people to open it up. Take the password, there's a 24-key password that comes in it, and then repackage it and resend it back to Amazon and resell it. I buy it directly from the manufacturer.
How do you know which one's safe to buy it from? Because it could be a scam.
I have them on my website. It's on info on Bitcoin.
Okay.
I have a section of hardware. There's a Ledger Nano,
okay.
And then that's one of the wallets as well.
It just gets confusing.
Good.
Even though to you it's not confusing, it seems confusing. But I do believe that it's going to be safer than the banks in the long run. If we wanted to get a hard wallet, we would get, like, you could get one off, I mean, recommendations off your site, or you could Google, but they could be scams, right?
Yeah. You can go directly to Ledger and buy it from them. That's one as well.
Ledger?
Yeah, Ledger. Ledger Nano, they call it. L-E-D-G. And there's a Treasure. There's another one called Treasure, T-R-E-Z-O-R.
Okay, so I'm just got not. I know we've got a lot more to go over in the next 20 minutes. But I just want to get. See, okay, so if somebody, Coinbase, because it may be backed by the FDIC, or just the dollar part seems a little bit safer, but maybe not. So when you go into a hard wallet, it's completely somewhere else up on the internet. It's not in any exchange or anything that.
When you use a hardware wallet, you're taking the money offline. It's not on the internet no more.
Okay.
It's basically when you print up a piece of paper, that's not on the internet anymore, right? That documentation, it's on the paper, right? Hard paper. When you move stuff into a hardware wallet, it's like taking something offline and it's not connected. So the only way to remove money from the hardware wallet is you have to plug it into the computer and put in your password, so nobody can steal it.
But where is that hardware wallet? Where is it? Like where is it somewhere?
They look like thumb drives. But like a memory stick with a screen on it. And
so
you plug it into USB.
If I wanted to say, Nihad, I want to send you $100 down in Florida, right? I want to send you 100 of my Bitcoin or my purse, whatever, maybe not whole. And I have it in a hardware wallet. Then I'm going to turn on my computer, I'm going to open up the thing, and I'm going to have to get your codes or name to be able to send it to you.
So if you want to send money from the hardware wallet, you have to plug it to the laptop, and then you send it to the address from your wallet. It's like an email address.
Just like that.
Now, if you're receiving money, you can still receive money into a hardware wallet without plugging it in. Believe it or not.
Oh, because it just puts it over, but then you can have to plug it in later to make sure it really went in and to connect it, to make sure it really showed up.
You don't even have to do that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The blockchain records all the transactions. It's saying I sent money to this address, but it won't update the wallet until you plug it in. But that's not necessary. You can, if you wanted to see if the money reached the wallet, you go to blockchain.info and then type in your address, and it will show you the balance of the wallet, but also show you the money was transferred in without even plugging the wallet in.
So. This, I know I'm going to sound very layman person, but I've been researching this and trying to get as much information as I can for a while. But not like you. You're amazing. You're definitely an expert, and with your background in technology and banking and all, I think it really makes sense to you immediately. So with Mr. Nakamoto or whomever Nakamoto is or was, with what was put together, and there's 21 million coins to go out and be mined by 2140. But that doesn't count these break-offs. That when I would go in to say, I've got my hardware wallet and I want to send Nihad you $100, a piece of my block, Bitcoin, It, the blockchain that's going to record it is part of this blockchain that came from what Nakamoto put together?
Yeah, all transactions are recorded in the blockchain and have to be verified for it to be accepted.
But I'm just saying, so it's kind of like Nakamoto or whomever these people are or whatever happened here, they're saying to us, we're giving you access. It's kind of like open source programming, right? You know how we –
basically,
we,
yeah.
PhD, yes? No.
Yeah, it's open source, and you can look at – anybody can examine the blockchain. You can even download – it's called a node. You can download all the transactions from day one. And people have done that, and they wanted to know
really?
How many coins – yes. You can download on your computer, and you can look at the first transaction that occurred, and you can look at Satoshi Nakamoto's wallet. And Satoshi Nakamoto
has a million
Bitcoin.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and he's
that's
never
how open
touched
source it is. Never touched
and
them.
And he's never touched them.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
They're still there. He owns
so,
5%
like, governments are probably buying these up, right? Governments are probably buying these up as well.
Well, they've tracked down a lot of transactions, large amounts. They see a lot of them going to St. Petersburg, Russia. So that's probably the government buying large amounts, storing them. Like
yeah,
the
I don't
gold.
Think we'll talk about that. Now I'm like, I'm just, I know nothing. I see nothing. I don't want to hear anything.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Super. But, oh, my gosh. No, it just blows my mind. I think we all need to get it. I think we need to get in on this thing. And Ethereum, I heard was with in Canada that was a little safer, but maybe it's not safer. You know, it's just very
When I was investing in Ethereum, I liked it in the beginning. I think it was at $10, and it jumped up to $1,300, I think, in 12 months. I think it went down to I'm out of it now.
200. Oh, no. Yeah, it's like 200
now. Yeah. But now I think Ethereum Classic might overcome Ethereum, and I think Ethereum Classic's at 10,000. But there's a lot of them. Bitcoin Cash is the same as Bitcoin, but it has larger megabytes per block, allowing the transactional fee to be less. There's EOS that's good. There's Stellar that's supported by IBM. I don't like Tether. That's basically 1-to-1 ratio dollar to cryptocurrency. But the U.S. dollar is also looking to put money and make their own crypto dollar, but they're still going to print as much as they want, so it means nothing anymore. But
no, it doesn't. The Nakamoto, well, this thing that came up and there's 21 million coins, then are there offshoots where people are just making up their own?
Yeah. Believe it or not, Ethereum, majority of the coins that are created, anybody can make their own coin under Ethereum blockchain. So basically, if I wanted my own coin, he had coin, I can go to Ethereum and make a subcoin called a token and have my own coin within 10 minutes.
What?
Using the Ethereum blockchain.
Okay, I'm
yes.
confused. You're kidding. So you can have your own – in 10 minutes you can have your own coin, but that's not
yes.
with the – that's your own mining? You have your own mining software?
No, it uses the Ethereum mining, and you pay transactional fees to the Ethereum network.
Oh.
So I don't have
and
to
so
have
it's
any
part
structure
of, it's part
in place.
Of, okay, so it's kind of wild. So if you
here's
were a merchant,
example.
You said, okay, okay.
Here's a good example. Do you know CryptoKitties? Have you heard of those?
CryptoKitties, no.
So CryptoKitties are basically coins, but it's a cat on a coin. And it's an animation cat, and you can breed these cats and make other cats. There's first generation, second, third, fourth, fifth generation CryptoKitties. And they all run on the Ethereum network. Within a month of release, one coin was worth $300,000. Somebody paid $300,000 for one cat.
What?
Yes, it's a cartoon cat of a coin, $300,000 they're paying. And they day trade them, and the cheapest one, I think, a lot of people day trade $10,000 to $20,000 per cat on the CryptoKitty.
Oh my gosh!
So you can make some good money. So they breed. They take one cat. The first gen cat is the most expensive. Breed them and then they sell them off. They make new coin. Basically, a cat is representing a coin, but it's an animation. They had it's crazy. It's just insane. That's just a small
crazy.
Part of
sounds
the network.
Crazy.
And I think the more the people that are involved are the millennials. And I'll tell you why.
Right.
If you remember in the grandparents that fought the wars and World War II. They had children, and those children invested in the stock market in the 70s in the Japan Stock Exchange.
Right.
And their parents said, why are you investing in a third world country that tried to kill us? But that market, the Japan market, skyrocketed. The same thing what's happening today. The parents are saying, why are you investing in cryptocurrency? Well, the kids and the millennials that grew up and saw their parents got kicked out of their homes, the banks got bailed out by the government, don't trust government, don't trust banks, and they trust Bitcoin. 90% trust Bitcoin more than fiat currency at this point, or any kind of cryptocurrency. And that's just the millennial generation is a lot bigger generation than the baby boomers. And they will push this market to a new level. And just, at this point, I think you're like 37 years old. Right when they turn 35 or 36, that's when the market started to trend upward. And that's the age people start to invest. And I think little by little, I think give it a decade after Bitcoin. It's been a decade, and it's another 10 years. I think it'll be normal. When people first saw email, it was confusing. When they saw the internet in the 90s, they didn't understand it. But after 10, 20 years, it's become normal at this point. I mean, it was kind of hard to believe people using their cell phones over a computer. Now, cell phones are exceeding computers at this point.
They are. They're totally exceeding it. Totally.
It's the trend.
Wow.
And,
Now I've heard where a lot of, like PayPal allows you to use Bitcoin, I believe, right? A lot of different vendors are jumping in on it and letting people use Bitcoin.
Well, in November 5th, they're going to have another ruling on ETFs for Bitcoin. The New York Stock Exchange is going to start trading Bitcoin. Starbucks is going to accept Bitcoin for coffee. Microsoft is involved in the database. And we're not even at the third world countries. You have to understand, the third world countries have no access to money and transactional fees. For someone to move money from South Africa to Nigeria, they have to give cash to a bus driver to give to the family in South Africa or pay a 20 to 30% transfer fee to a bank. This is why cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I heard that. What's it called? Rubles.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Zoom is working out in different countries, but not Zoom actually, but like Philippines, and I'm not sure what other countries. But so is it rubies or rubles? There was something that I heard that they were using in Africa in a smaller scale for some of the little villages. I'm not sure what it's called exactly.
The amazing thing about cryptocurrency is, you can make a currency for your own town and produce wealth for your own town. And then if you want to go outside your town, you exchange for Bitcoin to go to another country or another way instantly. There's companies like Shapeshift that will convert one currency to another instantly. But looking at Venezuela, my wife's in Venezuela, and they're starving, they're hungry, and they have an inflation of 2,000%, and it's so bad down there.
Oh my God!
You go to
terrible.
Dinner, if you can find food, if you go to dinner, the price by the time you finish eating is 10 times more expensive than you started. So people see Bitcoin as their savior. But we have all the financial. We have
what's Shapeshift?
Shapeshift, yeah.
I'm sorry, shake? My ears, I must not be able to hear very well.
Shapeshift.
Like shake your hand, ship.
Shape,
S-H-A-T-E.
P-E, Paul Edward.
O-P-E, Shapeshift, okay.
Shapeshift, S-H-I-F-T.
Okay, got it. I'm
.io.
Ship.io. Wow.
Yeah,
shape. Great.
Ships. Yeah.
Yeah, ships. Okay. Amazing. So, you like Bitcoin out of all of them. Is Bitcoin your favorite?
I think it's going to be the one that everybody knows. And I think only 1% of the world in the future will only be able to hold 0.28 of a Bitcoin. That's it. So only 1% of the world will soon only be able to hold 0.28 of the Bitcoin. That tells you the limited supply, because 4 million Bitcoins have been lost forever, will not be retrieved. And right
because
now,
people lost their passwords or they were stolen?
Passwords or threw away their computers that had it. A lot of things that could occur, but they see 4 million coins that have not moved in many years. Have probably have gone out of service. That's what they're predicting. So maybe there's 12 or 13 million at this point available, and there's about 16 million millionaires in the world, and if they all want to diversify their portfolio and buy just one Bitcoin, it's not possible.
So you're saying that basically if you can have it and take it, eventually it's still going to be worth a lot of money because it's like they used to say, Carnegie used to say years ago, they aren't making any more land in real estate, right? So
yep.
It's going to go up, and that's what you're saying with Bitcoin? Because that you're going to say that's
yep.
what's happening because we're not going to have any more?
It's just a supply and demand, and nobody can read the future, and I look at it as a lottery ticket. You're going to lose money. You think of it as lost money. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's how I see it.
Can we buy it on the stock exchange now?
No. New York Stock – well, I think by the time it gets to the stock exchange, it's going to probably increase in value even more. But Coinbase is the best regulated company in the United States, I think, as well. And the Gemini, if you know Facebook, the social – I think it's the social media – the social network, the Winklevoss
right.
twins, they're the ones that are behind creating Gemini. So they took their profits
wow.
from the Facebook lawsuit, and they started. They're starting Gemini in New York.
Really, they had profits
and
from the Facebook lawsuit. Wow.
Yeah, and they're the wow. first billionaires
yeah.
in Bitcoin. The Winklevoss twins, as well. I have all. If
wow.
anyone's confused or
yeah,
lost, info. Yeah, just go to infoonbitcoin.com. Infoonbitcoin.com and. I put a lot of YouTube video because it's too complicated to read, and I put some commentary
right.
below, but I think there's a lot of video that documentaries I have that will help educate, but you don't need to understand it. You just need to understand that it's easy to move money around. And if somebody wanted to test the network, they can go to Coinbase, get some Bitcoin cash, send a dollar from one person to another anywhere in the world, and see what happens. It doesn't hurt.
Will Coinbase talk to you, or do you have to do it all by email?
They have a phone number, but just be careful you don't call the wrong number if you
oh,
Google it.
Okay.
You don't want to pick up a
scam
number.
Huh?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Do you
yep.
believe we're at the end of the show? I have so much I want to ask you.
Well, I'll keep posting on my blog on Info on Bitcoin, and people can learn there as well. A lot of information. It's just that I get approached so much, and I don't have time. I just post information on the blog, and
right.
I have, I think, over 10,000 followers on Twitter, and quite a few people read it. So it's the best way to explain to people, especially if I have a new client.
Exactly.
It's just going to
exactly.
open the doors.
We have to get you into this, doing the real estate in other areas with us. That's wonderful. So, yeah, I agree. It's going to definitely – cryptocurrency, the blockchain's not going
yeah.
away. They're starting to use it in other things, schools too
yeah.
eventually, right? And
Just the only concern I have is that if they do smart contracts for real estate, then they might be out of business.
because it's all online?
Well, think about it. If you have a contract, I have a contract, I can put all the contingencies I want into it, and then the money can flow through that contract. What, you don't need an attorney, you don't need an escrow company, you don't need nothing. That money is just held by the cryptocurrency and transferred automatically to your bank if all the contracts
are
still
They still need to check things out. They still need to check the properties out and the numbers and the ratios and all that kind of stuff, right? If it's
yeah,
commercial, they still have laws.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think it's about maybe 10 to 15 years from now. I think it might, but I think it's going to creep in. It's something to pay attention to and to adapt and to understand. And trust me, it eats up a lot of my resources, too. I could be doing other things as well. But
I know, it does.
So the good thing is that I can
wow.
grasp it. I don't take time to absorb it. I can see it, learn it, and I'm done because I've been doing it for so many years. But it's changing. And I don't know. The thing about the blockchain is coming from just so many different directions. I don't know which one's real, what's not, because I don't, you just don't know, especially in real estate. There's another company that just reached out to me. And they're wanting to put the MLS in the blockchain, so we'll see how that goes.
Put the MLS in the blockchain? That's brilliant, but I don't know. Yeah.
It is. It would
Gosh.
Prevent duplicates and everything else, and it would solve a lot of issues.
It's unbelievable.
That we have. The good thing about putting it on the blockchain, But I can access properties in Hawaii as a realtor.
Right.
Anywhere, yeah, right away. Without, there would be no barriers. Like we have barriers with money, with countries. We have barriers with our joining MLS in each county. This would break those barriers and just link them all together. We'd all benefit each other.
Put it all together, which would be like a one MLS, which would be fantastic. You know, we
there's
a lot of networking we do with companies. Yeah.
You still need to reach out to an agent that's licensed in the state anyway, but just helps us take care of our customer more on our side than to reaching out to them and depending all on them.
Right. We have a way. Well, there's some companies we work with, we network with, that would work do that pretty well because they have quite a lot of listings, you know, through agent to agent, broker to broker. But you're right, for the private citizen, too, to just go in and put it in would be huge.
Very good.
In a private way. We are at the end. I can't believe it. I don't want to cut off, but it's going to, the recording's going to cut off. Oh, this has been a pleasure. And we have to get you back, and I want to network with you and do some things. And
we'll do.
And this is, again, Nihad Al-Hassan, and you can go to his website. You can Google him and find out lots of information. He's also on LinkedIn, and it's amazing what you're doing. I'm really thrilled that you're putting it out here, and you're just giving so much away. And I want to learn
more. There's not too many people that are in the cryptocurrency in real estate sometimes. There's the agents that are trying to sell Bitcoin, but they don't understand it. And I think that's a big difference.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So we'll have to put you, you'll be the head honcho. We'll say, go to you, and then you get a piece of the pie from everybody. Because you can teach it.
That is it, yeah.
You can do that, too. Absolutely. So to everybody out there, thank you for coming on. We're at the end of the day here. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.